We're discussing in the past few shiurim halachos related to matzah ashira, to kitnius, and one of the topics we touched upon was, is there an iser on Erev Pesach after the Zman Iser Chometz for Ashkenazim who throughout Pesach will not eat egg matzah and will not eat kitnius? Are they allowed to eat on Erev Pesach kitnius or egg matzah after the Zman Iser Chometz? And we mentioned that Rebbe Yehuda was makel on Erev Pesach that Ashkenazim are allowed to eat matzah ashira until Chatzos. And he said that if there is a need to even past Chatzos, he saw reason to be lenient on Erev Pesach for Ashkenazim to be able to eat matzah ashira, egg matzahs, for example. We saw a discussion in the Achronim how to interpret and understand the Prima Gadim, who might also be of the opinion that with regard to kitnius, although we're machmir not to eat kitnius on Pesach, but maybe that chumrah does not extend to Erev Pesach, and maybe, again, according to some interpretations of the Prima Gadim, an Ashkenazi would be allowed to eat kitnius after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. And the same discussion I saw is mentioned in Posim with regard to Ashkenazim who don't eat gebruchs on Pesach. Are they allowed to eat Knedelach Erev Pesach after after Zman Chametz? We mentioned, for example, that in general, I can't eat matzah Erev Pesach, and I can't eat baked matzah products, even if sweeteners are added in on Erev Pesach. But if I take matzah, crush it up, boil it, make Knedelach out of it, that you could eat Erev Pesach up until the beginning of the 10th hour, 4:13 p.m. this year in New York City. But let's say I am someone who has the minhag to prohibit eating gebruchs throughout Pesach. Can I still have those knedelach on Erev Pesach after Zman Iser Chametz up until the beginning of the 10th hour, 4:13 in the afternoon? So in Sefer Kobetz Halachos, he quotes that it should be obviously permissible. Apparently, even those who have the minhag to prohibit what's referred to in the literature as matzah shruya, but they're makel, at least many of them, on the last day of Pesach. You know, as those who ask the gebruchs still are makel on the last day, Shmini Shel Pesach, to eat gebruchs. So if you're makel on the minhag of matzah shruya on the last day of Pesach, so then, of course, we're not going to be more machmir on Erev Pesach afternoon than we are on the last day of Pesach itself. So therefore, those who are machmer gebruchs throughout Pesach, but are makel on the last day of Pesach, would also have the right to be makel on Erev Pesach after Zman Iser Chametz up until the beginning of the 10th hour to eat your knedelach or whatever other boiled, cooked matzah products you might be interested in enjoying. So that's one psak quoted here in Sefer Kobetz Halachos. With regard to matzah shruya, again, the same question we saw addressed with regard to kitnius, with regard to matzah shira, addressed as well with regard to matzah shruya, gebruchs. The reason you can't eat matzah Erev Pesach is that matzah that you could use for the mitzvah of achilas matzah at the Seder, the Yerushalmi in Pesachim says is forbidden to eat all day Erev Pesach. The Yerushalmi compares it to a man who has performed kiddushin with his wife, but not yet nisuin. And in the times of the Gemara, an arusa would still live in her father's house for another year until the time of nisuin. Then she would enter into her husband's home. But throughout that year, there was an iserbiya. They couldn't have relations yet. And the Yerushalmi says that somebody who eats matzah Erev Pesach is ki'ilu boel arusaso bebeis chamiv, which some Rishonim understand to mean that you are prematurely performing that which will become a mitzvah later on this evening, and therefore you can't prematurely do so on Erev Pesach. According to the Rambam, it's to show a heker. It's to show that we are making a distinction between achilas matzah, which is shal mitzvah, dafka tonight, leil Pesach, but the day before we don't eat matzah to make it clear that we're eating it dafka for the mitzvah on Seder night. That's the lashon of the Rambam. According to the Meiri, it's to, in order to preserve our appetite for the matzah of Seder night. So whether it's a heker, whether it's to create appetite, those are two approaches given in the Rishonim for the Isser. What about drinking wine on the drinking wine Erev Pesach. So the Gemara discusses whether that depends upon how much wine you drink. There's no Isser in the Yerushalmi. The Gemara is worried about whether drinking too much wine is Misad Said. Will it satiate you? Will it therefore harm your appetite? Whether it's Migra Gara, will it generate appetite? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted based on how much you drink. A little bit, not a lot, yes. Depends on how much you drink. So there are must sites such minhagim not to eat mara erev Pesach, not to eat the fruits that are going into the charoset erev Pesach. He doesn't paskin in accordance with that minhag, but there is such a minhag cited. The ikra din, the halacha is in Yerushalmi, just matzah, that's it. The Rambam makes reference to those other practices, which he does not insist upon the halacha. Another interesting shiloh we mentioned as well yesterday, the question, or 2 days ago, the question of when, upon marriage, a husband and wife have different minhagim. So we know al pi din, the woman is obligated to take upon her husband's minhagim upon herself. So whether she's an Ashkenazi marrying a Sephardi or a Sephardi marrying an Ashkenazi, she takes upon his minhag when it comes to kitnius, or if she's a Litvisho marrying a Hasidus, so she takes upon his minhag and gabbe gebrux. Whatever the minhagim changes are, a woman is obligated to take upon herself her husband's minhagim. We quoted two explanations in the Achronim. Rav Moshe says that it's like an individual who moves mi makom le makom and ain dai to lachzar. So you know, of chumre makom shahalach lasham, kule makom shahalach lasham. He takes upon himself the minhagim of his new place of residence. So a woman also, says Rav Moshe, moves into her husband's home. That's like a new move to a new residence. She takes upon herself her husband's minhagim. Whereas Rav Shlomo Zalman said it stems from the chiyuv of a woman to accept certain shibudim, obligations toward her husband. And included in that is her adoption of his minhagim. Now, if community said it would be, if the husband's mochel his wife and says, you can keep eating kitnius, I don't want to impose upon you an isur kitnius on Pesach, you come from a Sfarash family, enjoy. You can keep eating gebrux, I want to impose upon you a Hasidish minhag, come from a Litvish family, enjoy. Or you can keep Shabbos until whatever, my zman of the gra, I don't want to make you insist upon, or he's mochot, let her keep her Shabbos of her family's minhag. So, Shlomo Zalman holds, you can be mochot the minhagim if you want her to keep her family's minhag, even after marriage, you have that right. So again, you'd have to watch out for the kalim, etc., but me'ikra din, according to Shlomo Zalman, you could be mochot to keep her family minhagim. If she is a Yekesha marrying a non-Yekesha, you keep her 3 hours. You keep mochel the minhagim if you want to be mochel for her to get the minhagim. Yes, that is another issue. When the Ashkenazi couple goes to the Sephardi in-laws, what do you do about kitnius? That's a very valid question. Have to address that separately. That is a concern, 100%. I'm saying for the moment, in the home itself, the husband al pidin, according to Shlomo Zalman anyways, has the right to be mochel that she can keep her father's minhagim. If her husband's willing to be mochel, I guess he can be mochel, a particular minhag. Yeah, seems that way. So, now of interest though is the following. The Sefer Kol Nidre cites in the name of the Chazon Ish, who says the following. A woman who comes from a family where they did not eat gebrux. So Chazon Ish said, in that case, it's appropriate for the husband, bidafka, to let her keep the more chumra dika minig that she comes from. As I just said, that the husband has the right to be mochel, you can keep your father's minhagim, lakula. You want to keep eating kinius, you can do so. You want to keep eating gebrux, you can do so. The Chazon Ish is quoted as having said, if a woman comes from a Chassidish Mishpacha, going to live for Mishpacha, her husband should be dafka tell her, I'm mochel, so you can keep the chumras that you come with. Keep your chumras, keep your gebrux. Why should she downgrade, so to speak, in Ruchnias? Because she's getting married. Let her keep the gebrux, let her keep the 6 hours instead of her husband's 3 hours. Let her keep the Isser Kitnias instead of her husband's non-Isser Kitnias. Let her keep the chumras. That's, of course, the quote of B'Sev Chazon Ish. Shlomo Sternbach in his Tshuvas quotes the Chazon Ish. Very fascinating recommendation that it's appropriate that the husband should allow her to keep the chumras that she comes from, not to downgrade her, so to speak, even though me'ekar din, she's allowed to take upon herself her husband's menhagim, even lekula. So I guess a very different type of mechila, although I suspect that that's not usually the shayla you're going to get. Usually the shayla is, I want to keep my kulas. Can my husband be melchah for me to keep my 3 hours, or keep my heter gebrach, or my heter kitnius, or my shorter zman of matzei Shabbos, grua not rabbeinu tam, etc. But fascinating quote from the Chaznish in that regard. One last interesting shayla in this regard. A question with regard to, let's say, someone is makbid on gebrux, makbid on kitnius. Can such an individual, number one, handle kitnius? Is it mukta? Is it not mukta? If for him, it's not ro'oy on yomtif for any eating purposes. Or number two, can such an individual cook such products on yomtif for someone who's not makbid? Meaning the hetzer to cook on yomtif is when it's ochel nefesh. I'm allowed to cook for my own eating purposes on Yom Tov. But if I can't eat it, maybe I shouldn't be allowed to cook it for someone else who can eat it. Is that true? Is that not true? So interesting discussion in Poskim. In Sefer Kol Nidre, he writes, you have, let's say, a woman who's come from an Ashkenazi family, marrying a husband who's a Sephardi. And he lets her keep her Isser Kitnius. Can she cook for her husband Kitnius on Yom Tov? Or do we say, no, she can't eat it herself, so then she's not allowed to cook it for her husband? Or friends, neighbors, cooking for one another, Ashkenazim, cooking for Sephardim, can I cook Kitnius for them? Or is it usher for me to cook it, because for me, it's usher b'achila, so I have no heter ochel nefesh to cook it for myself, so I can't cook it for anybody else. So, very, very fascinating, Shaila. The assumption that Shmuel Kamenetsky makes in his Kovetz Halachos is that there's no Isser Muktza for one who is makbid on kitnius to forbid him from handling it. And Moshe Sternbuch in his Modem Mizmanim quotes from the Chazanish that this is a chakir he has. If I'm makbid on gebrux, is it muktza from your Shabbos Yom Tov to handle gebrux? So Kovetz Halachos writes, not muktza. But the Shalom becomes, even if it's not muktza, do I have a hetzer to cook it? If the hetzer of cooking in Yom Tov is dafka when it's ochel nefesh purposes for me, but I can't eat it because I'm makbid on gebrux, I'm makbid on kitnius, am I allowed to cook it or not? So that is a fascinating machlokes that Sefer Kol Nidre quotes, whether I have the heter of ochel nefesh to cook something that you can eat, even though I cannot. He quotes the machlokes of poskim in that regard. And perhaps, though, with regard to something like gebrux, which is much more of a chumrah than an ikur isser hadin, maybe there'd be more makam l'hakel there in such a scenario.